Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stanley Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Psalms 51. And in this psalm, we're continuing our study on a personal revival. As you study this psalm, you are given an insight into the heart of David after he had sinned against God and now then is seeking for restoration or revival. The general concept is that this psalm is some of the praying that David did over the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and the death of Uriah and all of that situation there. But regardless of the sin, all of it is sin against God and must be dealt with in a very definite manner if we're going to have the joy of the Lord and the blessings of God back in our life. I've said to you, this is a personal prayer of David. He is praying for himself. The old spiritual we used to sing, not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. This psalm is packed full of personal pronouns. I, me, my, and mine. And friend, that is the only kind of revival that you can ever have. You cannot have a revival for other members of your church. And you cannot have a revival even for other members of your family. It is a personal matter between you and the Lord. I know often we make this statement, especially in the work of the Lord, that it's not about me. But what I'm talking about today is really all about me. I cannot have revival for my wife. I cannot have revival for my children or their families. I cannot have revival for my church. But by the grace of God, I can have revival for myself. I remember when I was a young man, the old preachers of that day used to say to the church members as they were planning to have revival meeting, draw a circle and get in that circle and pray for everything in that circle until you get what's in that circle right. And when you do that, then we can have a church-wide revival that will reach outside the church into the community. And so I want you today to listen to this preacher. And as you listen, I want you to remember, I am not preaching to anyone else but to you. I'm talking to the person that has on your clothes right now, the person whom you see when you look in the mirror. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not the politician. It's not that worldly crowd. But it's you that I'm dealing with on the broadcast today. And that's the way David is looking at himself in Psalm number 51. I said to you, first of all, he begins this psalm with a prayer for consideration. He said in verse number 1, have mercy upon me, O God. Oh, what a statement that is. It is a plea for mercy. It's a plea for mercy upon me. Again, I emphasize, he's not praying for others. He's praying for himself. And then I said to you, number two, not only is a prayer for consideration, but it is a prayer for cleansing. Notice in these early verses, he said in verse number one, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Then he said in verse number two, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. And again in verse number two, he said, cleanse me from my sins. Then down in verse number seven, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It is a prayer for consideration. It is a prayer for cleansing. But then I want you to notice, it is a prayer for change. Now, we're living in a generation when there's much being said about change. There is a lot of church people going to a series of meetings, which is called revival. But the tragedy is, they come out exactly like they went into them. There is no change. Oh, in the services, a lot of times people are stirred. But I want to say revival is not just a stirring. Revival is a life-changing experience where God intervenes in the affairs of man and his life. But David prays for a change. Notice these several things. Let me name them, and then I'll deal with them, the Lord willing. He said in verse number 10, create in me a clean heart. Again in verse number 10, he said, renew a right spirit within me. In verse number 11, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. In verse number 11 again, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In verse number 12, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then again in verse number 12, he said, uphold me with thy free spirit. So David is making a prayer, not only for consideration, and not only for cleansing, but it is a prayer for change. As I was preparing for the broadcast today, these three thoughts came in my mind, and I believe these are three necessary things that must be worked by the grace of God in our hearts if we're going to see real revival in our life. Number one, David became sorry for his sins. Number two, he became sick of himself. And then number three, he became surrendered for service. And I will not get to deal with all of them on the broadcast today, but I do want to back up and deal with them. Number one, David becomes sorry for his sins. Now, friend, listen. There will never be any real revival until there is genuine repentance. You remember the Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Now I want you to hear me, dear friend. As long as you are enjoying your life of sin, then you will never, ever have revival in your life. But when you get to the place of getting sick and tired of your sinfulness and your ungodliness before a thrice holy God, then you are getting ready to get in shape to have revival meeting. I want to say it again. David becomes sorrowful over his sins. Our problem today is there is not much sorrow over our sins and our sinfulness before God. We have become a society, even among God's people, that can commit sin and then say, well, everybody else is doing it. Or I am just human. Or I am not perfect. And all of those are true. But friend, they're excuses. They are not acceptable unto God as a way of dealing with our sins. Oh, I know what happens. You soothe your conscience a little bit by saying, well, everybody's doing it, or nobody's perfect, and you just kind of, as it were, sweep it under the rug and go on. But I want to tell you, friend, there will be no forgiveness until there is confession and turning from, and there'll be no revival until there is repentance. And that repentance has got to be honest and open before God. And it's got to be from the heart. And it's got to be full repentance. A completely coming clean with God. Oh, listen, if we could just recognize there's not anything in the secret crevices of your heart today that God does not know about anyway. There's nothing, dear friend, that you have hid from God. Your family may not know about it. Your friends may not know about it. But I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven who is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He was there when you committed the sin. He's omniscient. He knows all that there is about anything and everything there is to know anything about. And friend, I want to say to you today, you don't have anything hid from God. No, my friend, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And friend, if you think you've got anything hid from God, you better think again. Again, let me quote the verse in Proverbs 28:13, where the Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. And you know who pinned down that verse of scripture? It was David's son Solomon. He looked back at his daddy's life and he said, if my daddy would have just confessed his sins, he would have obtained mercy. But he tried to cover them. And God said that the man that covers his sin will not prosper. Oh, dear friend, listen to me today. Your sin separates between you and God, and your sin will rob you of the joy and the victory of your salvation. And your sin will render your service for the Lord without any effectiveness. And I want to tell you, friend, you and I need to get filled with sorrow over the fact we've sinned against God, and what shame and reproach we brought upon him. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Once again, it's anniversary month here at the Harvest Time broadcast. We began broadcasting on the first Monday in November of 2002. The Lord's allowed us to finish 6 years, and we're now broadcast over 80 times a day. I do want to thank you that's prayed for us and stood by us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. I remind you that without you, we would not be able to do the job that we're doing. Let me encourage you on this anniversary month that you take time out, write to us, and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.